Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. I got it right again. Today's scripture reading is Jesus talking to the disciples, and by extension to us, on how to live a Christian life by abiding in Him. He uses the analogy of a vine and the branches, which maybe some of us, like me, didn't understand for a long time because I thought the vine was the whole grape plant. But no, just a central piece. Much like the trunk is the central piece of the tree, the vine is the same thing, and the branches are indeed the branches. And if you notice on an apple tree or on a grape branch, that's where the fruit appears. So that we can be fruitful by abiding in God, by being connected with Him, not letting sin or anything else keep us separated. And this is what Jesus is trying to say to us. So please listen to your message in John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is broken away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Are you connected? It really helps to be connected in this life. Everyone knows it's true. It's not what you know, the cynic says, but who you know that makes a difference. Unfortunately, in many regards, that is absolutely true. In this competitive world, where it is so difficult to land a job at time, it pays to know someone who can help you find a job and get on your way and even climb the ladder. Oh, your mother's friend is president of a company. Good for you. Being connected may not actually help you get the job, but at least this are more important to be considered if you know the person that is in charge. At least get your foot in the door and get an opportunity to be seen or heard, and that's important. You can see how difficult this might make things for people who are not connected or who do not know people who are in strategic places. Nevertheless, there's no use fighting it. That's the way that life works, like it or not. So it pays to be connected. About 30 years ago, there was a book which later turned into a very powerful movie I think most of you have seen, called Schindler's List. You may be interested in how the book was first published. A shopkeeper named Leopold Page was a survivor of the Holocaust. He survived through the efforts of one man, Oscar Schindler, spelled O-S-K-A-R, a Roman Catholic who saved not only his own life, but 900 fellow Jews. Page was determined to find a writer who would be interested in telling the story of Oscar Schindler. Not an easy thing to do. But one day a novelist, Thomas Kinley, came into Page's shop to buy a briefcase, and Page told him his story, and Kinley was intrigued by it and agreed to commit Schindler's story to print. The results were a moving story of a man who helped hundreds of Jews escape the death at the hands of the Nazis. But that's not the end of the story. Paige, the zealous and persistent shopkeeper, and some of his friends, and had friends, and they had friends, and somewhere he was able to get a book to the attention of a man named Steven Spielberg. Some of you remember him. He had just made a movie called Jurassic Park, which was a major blockbuster movie. And he went up to him and said, "Stop playing around with dinosaurs. I promise you, you'll get an Oscar for telling Oscar's story." And he did. Spielberg turned Schindler's List into a major motion picture. The book and the movie won 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, more than fulfilling Paige's lifelong dream. He said, "I did not know how I would do this, but I promised Oscar Schindler I would make him a household name." And he did. Leopold Paige, his number was 173, by the way, on Oscar Schindler's List. He was 173 of the 900 people whose lives were spared at the hands of the Nazi death camps. Leopold Paige was a shopkeeper. He was not a writer. But his commitment to his friend led him to connect with people who could help bring his dream to life and to reality. So it's important in life at times to have connections, people who can help you. If you don't have connections, this is important to make connections. Don't fight it. Make prudent use of this adage. It's not what you know, but who you know. I think it's important for all of us. So today, I ask you, how connected are you to other people? Of course, when I ask a question about being connected, the younger members of our congregation, their minds are probably going towards Facebook. I'm connected on Facebook. I'm connected on Twitter. I'm connected on LinkedIn. Or hundreds that I don't even know the names of or don't even recognize that they do and are using every day. Well, a group of young children were sitting around in a circle, and their teacher was asking them some questions. And he said, "Davy, what noise does a cow make?" He answered, "Moo." Good answer. "Alice, what noise does a cat make?" "Meow." Good answer. "Jamie, what sound does a lamb make?" "Baa." Good answer. "Jennifer, what sound does a cat or a mouse make?" "Click." Well, a computer mouse does make the sound click. First thought for the child. That's what a mouse she really related to. The question, how connected are you, means different things to different people. However, there is a danger associated with electronic connectedness. Despite all the hype about being connected through the internet, a number of studies suggest that this technology may be actually disconnecting us from those around us. And I know this is not what people want to hear. A study of the Sanford Institute found that 13% of regular net users, those on the web more than 5 hours or more a week, reported spending less time with family and friends. 8% said that they were now attending fewer social events, and 26% said they talked less to friends and family by telephone. And that's disturbing. Being connected to family and friends is what gives life meaning. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I was at a restaurant, I think somewhere like the Olive Garden, and I looked over. A family of 4, a mother, a father, a son, and a daughter. Son, I think, was a teenager, the daughter, a preteen. All 4 had cell phones. All 4 were on cell phones. None of them were talking to each other. And they're out for a family dinner. I thought, how disquieting is that? And I see groups, you've seen it, groups of teenagers, and not just teenagers. I've seen groups of, I won't say who, groups of people standing around. Instead of talking to one another, they're all texting somebody else. And I say, what is wrong with the person in front of you? Why can't you connect with them? Maybe I'm just getting too old. I don't know. As another prominent researcher noted recently, many people have a swarm of friends on Facebook, but friending is not the same as befriending or being a friend. Instead of creating a global village, the internet has distracted and distanced us from each other. One impact is that lonely people have no one to turn to in hard times. I look on Facebook because I'm on it, and I see some people, and I have people tell me, I've got 500 friends. I don't want to burst your bubble. But no, you don't. You've got 500 people on Facebook, but you don't know them, and they don't know you. They're not really friends. Friends are people who come over and help you. Friends are people who are there when you need them. Those are friends. These are people you're just throwing pictures at, and you're throwing emails and things. You might have a couple or three, but you don't have 500 friends. Unless you're very, very unique. Of course, not all or even most of our personal isolation can be blamed on the internet. The average American today already has a third as many friends as people had 25 years ago, and one-fourth have no close confidants at all, no one to talk to and share their life with. Say, what's going on? And then that person can do it back with them. We're becoming a disconnected society, even though we have more ways to connect than we ever have. Staying connected is important to our health and our general well-being. This is what medical studies are showing us time and time again. One study compared 12,000 Japanese men living in Japan and then the Japanese men who had moved to Hawaii or California. The researchers took smoking, diet, exercise, cholesterol levels, and social support, which is the maintenance of family and community ties. The group with the lowest social support, the California group, had a threefold, a fivefold increase in heart disease. The researchers concluded that the social networks and the family ties were not there for this group to protect them from disease and premature death. Stay connected to people. It's important to do. The research shows that you will actually be healthier by having friends and being connected to them. But the effects of the social isolation are not just medical. A British study suggests that social isolation is in part responsible in the fact that suicide rates have risen for people under 35 years of age at a very dramatic rate. In studying the lives of 148 young people who died of either suicide or natural causes, the researchers found that those who killed themselves were more likely to be living alone, single, unemployed, and with few friends. In other words, they were socially isolated and disconnected from other human beings. When a partner's spouse dies, the first year after that death, they are at a bigger risk for serious illness or even death for themselves. Retirement also changes your social network of friends, especially if you move away or when you quit working at a place and you had a network of friends at work. It changes the social dynamics, and you can lose those friends. Of course, the most important connection is to stay connected to Jesus Christ. In our lesson for the day from the gospel, Christ says to us, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I am the vine, you're the branches. Here's where staying connected is most vital. Christianity has two central foci: to be connected to people and to be connected to God. That's two of our main purposes, and we forget that sometimes. Some people think they can have God and just to heck with people, or they can just have people and to heck with God. Life does not really work that way. You need both. In his book, Blue Fire, psychologist James Hillman describes a condition among primitives which anthropologists call loss of soul. In this condition, a person is unable to make an outer connection to other human beings or an inner connection even to their own self. He's unable to take part in society, its rituals, its traditions. They're dead to him. He to them, until he regains his soul, he is not a true human being. Hillman tells about an experience he had one day in a famous institute in Zurich where they coined the phrase schizophrenic and complex. And Hillman watched a woman being interviewed, and she was sitting in a wheelchair because she was elderly and feeble. And she said that she was dead, for she had lost her heart. The psychiatrist asked her to place her hand over her breast and feel her heart beating, which she did. He said it must still be there if she could feel the beat. That, she said, is not my real heart. She and the psychiatrist just looked at each other. There was nothing more to say, writes Hillman. Like the primitive who had lost his soul, she had lost the loving, courageous connection to life. She was still breathing, but she was dead. We lose a heart, we lose our soul when we lose our connection to God. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, says Jesus, yet forfeit their own soul? And we all know the answer to that. Lose your connection to God, and nothing else you accomplish will have any real meaning in life. Lose your connection to God, and you lose the meaning, the very meaning, the essence of life. You know, back during the days of the Cold War, a woman named Svetlana Stalin, daughter of the cruel former Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, shocked the world by emigrating to the United States of America to start a new life. She explained her change of allegiance this way. She said, "I found it was impossible to exist without God in one's heart." Ms. Stalin was right. It is impossible to exist as a full human being without God in one's heart. How connected are you to Jesus Christ? And it's important, I think, to note, if we lose our connection to God, it will not be God's doing. God's love for us is everlasting, and it is unconditional. The popular radio teacher Vernon McGee once told about a little piece of wood that he kept on his desk. And he explained that he took this small piece of wood from a vineyard in San Joaquin Valley. The small piece of wood consisted of a section of a grapevine out of which grew a branch. The owner of the vineyard told McGee that if two people were to have a tug of war with this section of the vine, it would break. However, it would never break where the vine and the branches joined together. The place on the grapevine where the vine and the branch are joined together is the vine's strongest point. Now, if you pull on the branch that goes into a tree and you pull on that branch, the trunk of the tree will break at its weakest point. But in a grapevine, that is the strongest point. No wonder Christ used the analogy of the vine and the branches to explain his relationship to us, his followers. The strongest place on the grapevine is where the branches are attached to the vine. So if we stay connected to Christ, we will stay strong. And we can't be pulled away from him. In other words, we don't need to worry that our connection to Christ will be broken, at least not from Christ's side. That connection is a powerful one. So I ask you, do you know anyone who needs to be connected to Jesus Christ? Do you know anyone who needs to be connected to another human being? And I bet you do. They're all around us. Arthur Max Licato tells about a friend of his named Steve who worked at a pharmacy. And his main job as he worked his way through college was to deliver supplies. And he had this one lady lived in a building just a little ways down the street, 50 feet from the pharmacy. And he would deliver bottles of water every week, twice a week to her. The strange thing about it is she could have municipal water. But he delivered water to her. She bathed with it, she cooked with it, she cleaned with it. Now, why do you think she had the water delivered instead of using municipal water? She lived by herself. She didn't have real connections to people outside. She couldn't get away. So she paid to have the water delivered, to have someone come into her house just for a few minutes to see another human being. I think sometimes we forget how lonely people are that are by themselves. Are there people in our community who are that lonely? And you know the answer is yes. There are teenagers who are that lonely. Standing in a group of 20, but feel lonely and isolated and feel like they don't fit in and need someone to reach out in the love of God to care about them. There are adults who all their lives have felt like they didn't fit in, that no one cared for them, waiting for someone to reach out in love and compassion, to speak to them, to call them. Seniors shut away in their homes who can't get out, or nursing homes with no visits, somehow are becoming disconnected. Isn't it interesting when you think about how we got salvation, that God sent a person, His Son, Jesus Christ, to connect with us? He could have sent an angel, been more impersonal. He could have done it any way He wanted to, but He sent His Son into the world to connect with us. And Christ says to us, if you want to find life, be connected to Me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Where you are, I am connected in the strongest place on the vine. So I ask you one last time, are you connected? Are you connected to other people? Are you connected to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? May God bless you. Amen.